and verse 10. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Luke chapter 18 speaks about two men. Jesus told a parable, and he said, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee. And the other, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The title for this message is The Power of Confession and Praying Like a Publican. Praying like a publican. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for your presence and anointing in this service. Lord, let these words, your words, find good soil. Speak to our hearts, O God. Speak to our hearts, faith, O God. Restore, revive, heal. Hallelujah. Make alive that which was dead. Help us, O God, to find you today. We thank you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to pray like a publican. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This story that Jesus told about two men was in response to something that had happened earlier in the verse, if you read it, if you look at it, of people looking down on other people and thinking they were better than other people. And so Jesus told this story about the Pharisee, who was one of the ruling sects of their day, that was a group that followed the law as perfectly as they could and did all the right things, it seemed to, outwardly. And because of that, they felt that they were superior, that they were better, that they had a right to ask God, to come before God, to speak to God personally. And there was this other guy who was called a publican. And his job was not looked at very well. It was despised. It was looked down on because he worked for the Romans. He worked for the hated group. He collected taxes. And most of the publicans were thieves. They were con men. They cheated. And so, of course, he was a despised outcast. But the difference was, he knew it. He knew how he was. He knew that he brought nothing to the table. He knew that he could not come before God with any works, with any, look what I have done. This is all the things that I can boast about. And we can see that in the end, he only spoke seven words. Seven words. Seven words was a powerful prayer. Seven words were heard by God. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. There is something about his prayer I want to talk about today that if we could get, we would understand what made it so powerful, because it was a powerful prayer. Any prayer that God answers is a powerful prayer. And it wasn't his boasting about what he had achieved or how good he was or what he had accomplished. The Bible says he stood afar off. He wouldn't even raise his eyes. What was it that made his prayer powerful? What was it about his prayer that had such effect? Well, number one, I would say to you, it was his attitude. He came in with humility. He wouldn't draw near. He wouldn't come close. He knew that other people would kind of be looking like, what are you doing here? Why are you in here? What do you think you're doing here? He stayed afar off. He wouldn't even look up. He humbled himself. His prayer was not just in his words, but was in his attitude. The Bible said he looked down. He had a humble demeanor. He approached God with humility. But of all the things, though, was not only his humility, but as I taught in Sunday school, he made a confession. And I taught in Sunday school how powerful a confession can be. He said, I am a sinner. And then he acknowledged that he needed something from God. He brought nothing to the table. The Pharisee was boasting about all the things that he brought to the table. Look, I paid to this church. I have a right. I can come and sit on the front pew. I can call the pastor anytime. Not this man. He realized that there was nothing that he brought. He needed to depend solely on God's mercy and his grace. And that's why his prayer was so powerful. Seven words was all he said. Seven words that touched God's heart, that justified that man, that let him leave different than the way he came. Today we can leave different than the way we came. You don't have to come in here and leave the same way, depressed, down, in despair. But it depends on your attitude. And it depends on what you bring to the table. I tell you what, I don't bring much to the table. The only thing I bring to the table is thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for reaching out to me. I thank you for delivering me. Jesus made a comment on this man, and he made it plain that it was the publican that went home justified. It's time for us to start to pray like a publican. Sometimes we bring our shopping list to God of all the things we have done and all the things we want. The only thing he asked God for was mercy. But I tell you, if that's all you get, you have got something. If you get mercy from God, you can go home justified. You can go home rejoicing tonight. You don't have to rejoice because the Rams beat the whoever it is, Patriots. But I'm going to rejoice that my name is written in the book. My Super Bowl party is going to continue past 11 o'clock. It's going to be worshiping God tomorrow too. I don't care who wins because I've already won. The Bible said that we are seated in heavenly places and we have been passed from death unto life. If that doesn't make you smile, I don't know what you're waiting for. Unless you don't believe it. But I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, this was not always a confession has to be a confession of sin. In Sunday school, I pointed out that a confession is but a declaration. Sometimes it is a confession that we have a need of forgiveness. Sometimes it is a confession that we need a healing in our soul. But a lot of times it can be just a declaration of faith, a confession, Lord, I trust you. No matter what, Job made a confession of faith. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You know, when the devil heard that, he must have just shook his head and said, I don't know what I'm going to do to this fellow. I kill his children, I take away his wealth, I make him sick, and then he comes out with this, though he slay me. I tell you, when you have got to that part, when you can make a confession with the right attitude, you have power with God. You will have achieved something. When you can get to that place, when you come and you're humble before your God, but yet you make a confession of faith and say, Lord, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Though he take away my job, yet I'm still going to come to church and worship. No one's going to know because there's a joy that's outside what the world can provide. There's an inner peace that comes from believing and trusting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, some people tonight are going to get happy just because somebody puts a ball down the field. But tell you what, I will be happy after that game. Because I'm happy now. You know why? Because I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen. If you come to this church long enough, you're going to learn that phrase. I'm blessed and highly favored. I tell you what, when we make a confession before God with humility, when we make it clear that that doesn't come from me, it doesn't come from anything I can do, but the resource and the supply always comes from God, then we've made a prayer of a publican. See, he brought all the things that he could do. Lord, look what I've got. I'm rich. I can do this for that, for the church. I can do all this stuff. And he did not leave justified. Just seven words. Lord, have mercy upon me. Hallelujah. That's all we have to do is to come before God with the right attitude, with the right confession. You see, there's a power in a confession. There is a power in confessing types of prayer. When we declare some things, God will stand upon his word. Let me give you an example. In 1 Samuel 17 starting at verse 36, you know, love to quote David. And I've quoted this very much, but I've never really read it in detail. David was brought before Saul, and he sees Goliath out there, and he's explaining why he thinks he should fight Goliath. He says this, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. You know what he's doing? He's making a confession. He is declaring what's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to kill this Philistine. He's as good as dead. He was declaring some things, but he did it with a certain attitude. David, verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. You know what he's doing now? He is acknowledging with the source. He's not saying, I can kill this guy by myself. This guy is 9 feet tall and got an armor bearer. But he's saying, the Lord. When we come before God with the right attitude and with the right confession, as the song says, mountains have to move. I'm telling you, my God is a mountain mover. When we bring the right confession with the right attitude, that's a key that opens all kinds of doors. David said, it was God that helped me kill the bear. It was God that helped me kill the lion. He was only a little 17-year-old youth. He had no sword, but he had the name of the Lord. He told Goliath, you come with all this stuff, but I come in the name of the Lord. See, when we make a confession of faith, that is a powerful prayer. When we pray like the publican and make a confession with the right attitude, seven words, that was all. Seven words changed his life. We don't have to make a long prayer. We just have to have the right attitude. When we come before God with humility, when we come before God acknowledging that he is the source, when we come before God believing that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, when we get that attitude and get that confession, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. God will stand upon his word. He will stand upon his promises. I'm evidence of that. Amen. I'm not going to tell you all the things God has done for me. Some of them are too embarrassing to tell you. But I tell you what, he has delivered me out of the paw of the bear. He has delivered me out of the paw of the lion. And I want to learn to pray like a publican. Now, I didn't say Republican. I said publican. Amen. When you learn to pray with humility, when you come before God acknowledging that he is the source of all the power, all of the miracles, all of the deliverance, I bring nothing to the table. God doesn't need me. He does not need me. He can make, you know, as they said, Bill Cosby used to tell the joke. He said to his sons, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. I can go and make another one just like you. God does not need you. We need him. When we come to the place of acknowledging that he is the source, when we have the right attitude, it doesn't take a long prayer. Seven words change that man's life. Seven words change his direction. You don't have to make a long prayer, but you have to have a confession. It can be a confession of sin. It can be a confession of trust. It can be a confession of faith. It can be a confession of a declaration. David here says in verse 37, the Lord the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out. See, that was a confession. That was a declaration. You know, when God hears that, he says, well, you know, I just got to do something. Now, I can't have David fall because he's called my name. I'm going to look bad if I don't back him up. See, when David acknowledged where the power came from and when he stood upon the word of God, just one stone did the job. He picked up five, but the first one was all he needed. When you have made a confession, a public confession before God, God will come through. He will deliver you out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver you out of the paw of the lion. But it has to be with the right attitude. The right attitude. He gave God glory, first of all, by acknowledging that it was the army of the living God. You read it. He said, you've defied not me, not King Saul, but you know who you've defied? The army of the living God. You're in trouble now. You better watch out. You've defied the army of the living God. You made a big mistake, Goliath. You should have said something about Saul. God may not have helped him, but you went and messed with the army of the living God. Don't you understand what you've done? I don't have to fear you, Goliath, because I'm not really fighting you. God is fighting. See, when you let God fight your battles, there's no doubt about the outcome. You know that old song says, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho? It's a good song, but it's a bad interpretation. Because we know who fought the battle of the Jericho, and it wasn't Joshua. It wasn't the children of Israel. In Joshua chapter 5, just before the battle, he goes up on this hill and he finds this figure who is dressed in ready for battle with a sword. And he says, who are you? He says, I'm the commander. When you meet the commander, you don't have to worry. He says, I am the captain of the Lord's host. He met the number one guy, and I've come to fight. When you meet the number one guy, when you come in an attitude of humility, you know the first thing that Joshua does? He takes off his shoes and he gets to the ground and he starts to worship. He starts to worship. They could not have destroyed the walls of Jericho. Those things were 20 feet wide and 60 feet tall. They had spent 40 years in the desert. They had no real weapons to speak of. But when you fight with the captain of the Lord's host, there's no worry about what the outcome's going to be. You're going to win. You see, when you have the right attitude and you pray the publican's prayer, Lord, have mercy upon me. That's all. Seven words. Think about it. Seven words constituted his victory, his dominion, his deliverance. But it was with the right attitude and it was with faith. He wouldn't even dare to look up. He didn't think that anyone would even notice him. But Jesus was watching. When you think that God isn't watching you, he's looking at where you're standing, what your faith is. What are you going to say? Are you going to say a confession of faith? Or are you going to confess some doubt? I don't know how I'm going to make this. I'm guilty of that. But this year, I want to stop saying negative things. I want to only confess that he is Lord. He is King of Kings. And if I meet the commander of the Lord's host, there is no doubt how the battle is going to go. Just going to have to march around Jericho a few times and then give a shout of triumph and the wall is going to come down. See, David knew how to fight. Basically, let God fight. Amen. When we try and fight, we are always going to mess up. We're always going to come in our strength. You see, David understood where his strength came from. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Man, that's our theme this month, because what we need is for our soul to be restored. We need our relationship with God renewed. When you meet the commander of the Lord's host and you get down in the right attitude, he says, I've come to fight the battle, Joshua. Just do what I tell you. You don't even have to draw a sword yet. Just march in faith, believing. And at the last minute, you give a shout before the wall comes down. You know they had to shout before the wall came down? See, some people are going to shout after the Patriots score or the Rams score. But in our football, we shout before it happens. We declare it. We confess it. We acknowledge the King of Kings before it happens. Then he does it. He does it. I'm telling you, when we start to understand the power of a confessional prayer, then we will learn to pray like the publican. Seven words changed his life, his direction. He was noted by Jesus. Now, it's told that this is a parable, but I have no doubt that this was something that really happened. Someone was in there boasting about all they had done and how good they were and what their life was like. Jesus said, no, that's not going to be enough. That doesn't really move me. But this man, with his humility, acknowledged that he had nothing to bring, that his dependence was totally on God. There's going to be a time when your dependence, your salvation, your deliverance can only come from God. There will be no other way. It will be just as how we taught in Sunday school when Lazarus had died. And Martha said, even now. Even now, even though he's dead, he's in the grave 3 days, she made a confession. The confession was only two words. Jesus, even now. It's time for us to say that. Whatever your situation is, you need to speak to it and say, even now, even now, even now, even now, Lord, you are able to do what I cannot do, what the government can't do, what the pastor can't do, but he can. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and there were some things that he needed to give up. He couldn't give them up. The disciples wondered, because the scripture says something really amazing that I've said before. It says, it points out about this young ruler, it says that Jesus loved him. That's amazing. We never know his name, even though the scripture says Jesus loved him. You know what that tells me? Jesus' love is not enough if you are not going to be willing to do your part. It says Jesus loved him. We never know his name. Imagine if he had done what Jesus said. He could have been some great apostle that we would know his name. That tells me that although Jesus loves you, you have to come with the right attitude. You have to make the right declaration of faith. You have to say, Lord, though you slay me, though it looks like you slay me, yet I will serve you. Yet I'm going to trust you. Though the enemy seems to be destroying me, yet though I haven't had my victory yet. Just like Martha, we have to get to that place where we will say, even now, Lord, whatever you say, whatever you say. You see, the scripture tells us about this confession. In Romans chapter 10 and 9, it says, if thou shalt confess. That means to state, to declare, to bring forth, to say it, to spit it out. Tell the devil a few things. Speak to him and tell him, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, the word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. It's time for us to learn to pray like a publican. A prayer of humility that confesses our weakness, depends on God's strength and his mercy and his grace. And you know what happened? Jesus said, that man went home justified. That man went home justified. Seven words changed his life. Sometimes we think it's an hour of prayer. It's good to pray. I'm not saying don't pray, but we have to pray with the right attitude and the right confession. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that word save comes from the word salvation. It's talking about whatever your situation is. You have to make a confession about it. I confess that I'm going to be delivered this week. The devil said that I'm going to be sick. The job says I'm going to be fired. But I confess the Lord is my supply. He is my food supply. He is my source. I can't do it. I don't have enough degrees to get the right job. But he is a provider. He can take a raven and feed the prophet. Now the raven was an unclean bird. It was a despised bird. And God was trying to show, listen, whatever I want to do, I can bless it and I can feed you even in a desert, in a wilderness. It's time for us to pray like a publican. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's all he said. And that was such a powerful prayer because God answered it. Let me show you a prayer of confession. It may be that you don't think that you can do this. The three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3 verse 16. Daniel chapter 3 verse 16, it said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I know what you want us to say. You want us to bow down and to worship the idol, but we can't be careful in this. We have to make a declaration. We're going to have to confess who we really love, who is our source, who we worship, who we're going to declare some things on. We're not careful how we answer you in this matter. Last night, I was on the Christian channel. Pretty late, I don't remember what time it was. And they had a story about some Christian martyrs. And this is the only first-hand account that the historians have found of these four Christian martyrs. The three of them were ladies. One was a slave. One was from a rich family. And this was in northern Africa, where the Romans were ruling in the province of Egypt. And this was a first-person account. This young lady, we don't know how old she was, probably in her late teens, just a little girl. But she wrote in her diary as she was in prison. This was in the year 206. This was not too long after the church had just started to spread. And there came a persecution. There came a persecution. The emperor started to get the Christians and put them to lions and wild beasts. And this first-person account is the only one they've ever found that was recorded because she came from a wealthy family. They gave her writing material, and she was able to write in prison. And as the story was being told, I realized we haven't suffered nothing. We've been through nothing, yet we complain. This lady, she was pregnant, and the Roman law forbade executing anyone who was pregnant until after they had the baby. So the other three, they prayed, the date was set for the execution, that she would have the baby quickly so that she could die with them. She prayed this. All she had to do was to confess something else. Confess that Caesar was king. That's all she had to do. She had to do nothing else, not pay any money. She could have got out. Her father came to the jail. She wrote this. And father said, please, please, look what you're putting us through. All you have to do is confess something different. But she held fast to her faith. One of these days, if we get to heaven, God will be able to bring up some people who have confessed and made declarations in the face of death. And yet we find it so hard to just say, I'm coming to church. Will I see you next week? Well, I'm not sure. We can't even confess that God is the first in our life and most important thing. It's time for us to start to pray like a publican. If we want power, if we want deliverance, if we want healing, if we want direction in 2019, it's time to start praying like a publican. They brought the four of them out after she had the baby. And they did something different with the women. I won't go into, they described it in, you know, other writers wrote about what happened. But what came to me is how easy it would be for them to confess something else. But on their dying death, when they put all these different wild beasts, and it was not a quick death, they confessed only the Lord Jesus. It's time for us, church. It's time for us who say we're believers to do some real examination in 2019. Are we just playing or are we serious? This publican didn't really have to go to the temple. Nobody would have thought any less or worse of him, but he had a change and a desire to get forgiveness. He had a desire to make it right with God. If he hadn't gone to the temple, that's not what was expected of him. Nobody would have thought any worse of him. They already thought he was trash. But he went and in seven words changed his life. It's time for us in 2019 to change our direction. We can have power with God. If you could stand with me. It's time for us to start making prayers of confession. As I said, that doesn't always mean sin, but declarations standing upon the word of God. The three Hebrew boys, when they went into King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us." Now, you say, well, what about their attitude? You said they needed attitude as well. In this case, the attitude was they stood up when everybody else bowed down. They had the attitude of standing up and not worshiping the false idol. When they came before Nebuchadnezzar, they then made a declaration. Listen, whatever happens, we're out of your hands. If you kill us, we're out of your hands. If God save us, we're out of your hands. They made a declaration. They, Bible says of the church in Revelation, it says they love not their lives to the death. I hope that if it comes to it in this country, that there will come a time when we will have to make some real choices, not whether it's too cold to come to church, that we'll have made our confession and our attitude long ago. My attitude wants to be one of worship, of acknowledging the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that I bring nothing to the table except thanksgiving. I might not have any money. I might be broke. I might not have any clothes, but I can always give thanks. I can always give thanks. And the truth is, I have everything I need, so I should give thanks even more. I want to declare some things in 2019. I want to declare some things. I want to declare some things against Satan. I don't want him interfering with my family in any way. I don't want him interfering with this church in any way. It's not my church, but I'm going to declare some things. He's been trying to. But the gates of hell shall not prevail. Luke chapter 12, verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever, let's say that word, whosoever, whether you be Pharisee, publican, outcast, downcast, whosoever shall confess me. You going to do any confessing of him today? This week, this year, this month? Are you going to do any of that? Because it says here, there's a promise. Whosoever confess me before men, shall the Son of Man also. He's going to call your name if you call his name. What a deal. What a deal. What a deal. Bible says, whosoever shall confess me before men. I want to do some confessing. I want to tell other people, God is a savior. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. I have a personal testimony how he has delivered me so many times, miraculously, where there was no other way, where it was just, even now, Lord, even though my situation is dead and it's been dead for 3 days, even now. When they sent me a letter denying and saying, we're going to foreclose, even now, I took that letter and I called them up and I said, this is can't be right. And they said, no, this is not right. Even now, he says, prove me. This month, our theme is restoration. And the first thing that must be restored is your faith. In Micah, it says, prove me. God is saying, prove me. But first, you have to shout before the wall comes down. It's easy to shout while the wall is falling down. It's a little bit more difficult to shout while the 60-foot wall, 20-foot wide, is up there and you can see the army of Jericho. Now, if you can shout then, God's gonna do something. I guarantee you he's going to do something. The man told Joshua, you know who I am? I am the commander of the Lord's host. He met the number one guy and he got the right attitude. He bowed down and he worshiped. The battle was over at that point, except for them shouting. We need to do some confessional prayer. And I know I'm saying it over and over and over again. I hope you get it over and over again. That tomorrow morning when you wake up, you do the publican's prayer. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. 7 words changed his life, his direction, his outcome. These altars are open. We're closing. I want to encourage you that restoration is on its way. Deliverance is on its way. Healing is on its way. Lifting up is on its way. If we will do just 2 things. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and then seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. God will do his part, but a lot of us won't do our part. I said in Sunday school, you know, it's like you have a combination lock with 4 numbers. And we turn 3 of them and we say, God, why don't you open the lock? You got to do all of it. I said many times, God's not running a buffet. You don't get to pick and choose. But this does say, come and dine. Come and dine. We need to make some confessions this week in our lives, for our families, over our finances, over our loved ones, over ourselves. When we do that with the right attitude, 7 words will make the difference. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for those at the altar. I want this church to really pray, and I want you to make a prayer of confession. Declare some things. Declare some things. Speak with your mouth a word of faith into your own life, over your family, over your finances, over the direction you're going. Sin shall not have dominion. That's a declaration. Sin shall not have dominion. Sin shall not have dominion. I belong to the King of Kings. Sin shall not have dominion. Sin shall not have dominion. I'm going to declare some things. My favorite one, I'm blessed, highly favored. Not anything I've got, but he has it all. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this afternoon for helping us to confess some things before you.